He won't get this one, Jacob. He will not get this one. When you hear the college band playing, you know we're going to talk college football. No better person to speak with than Lynn Scarborough of LindySports.com. I'll give Lynn a hint. It is not an SEC team. Lynn, welcome to the show. How are you?
Isn't that the Cincinnati Bearcats?
Wow, that's amazing. Yes, it is. The Cincinnati Bearcats.
Yeah, that's great. And how appropriate that y'all would play them today.
No, you know, I knew what I was doing. This is the first Group of Five conference team to crack the top four in the selection committee rankings in the eight-year existence. So I figured you would appreciate that. What do you think about that, Cincinnati in the top
four? Well, I'm for it. You know, we've talked about it on the air this year. That, of course, it's further evidence of why I think I'm right in expanding. Of course, I want to expand to eight teams, and if the committee does it, they say they're going to go to 12. But, you know, if this Cincinnati team cannot be allowed to play, then they need to quit lying about the rules. They need to quit saying that there's a formula by which a group of five team could make it and just admit we're not going to let one. Because now they could lose to East Carolina. They won't, but they could. They could lose their championship game. I don't know who they're going to be playing against, but whoever it is, it's probably
University of Houston.
They can play against Houston. All right. Now Houston could beat them. You know, Houston's a good team, and Houston could win the game. It'd be a shame. I know people in our audience don't want to hear that, but it'd be a shame for them to have done everything they've done and then lose to Houston because they've got to stay undefeated. They can't lose a game and be allowed to go. But if they don't lose a game and they're not allowed to go, then they're a bunch of hypocrites and they ought to just tell the truth instead of quit saying that Cincinnati could be there. I mean, all they can do, they go undefeated, they win the conference championship. They go on the road and beat Indiana, which had a very mediocre year, but they go on the road and beat Notre Dame, controlling the entire game, and Notre Dame sits there at about number six, or maybe seven, or five, or wherever they are. But, you know, the only loss that right now is keeping Notre Dame from being an undefeated team is on their home field losing to Cincinnati. And Cincinnati, SMU was thought they might give them a chance. They were a single-digit underdog, and I think it was 48-0 before SMU scored last week. So this Cincinnati team has done everything it could do. Now the travesty is going to be if Cincinnati wins this thing out and they jump teams ahead of them that, you know, right now we've got an unusual situation because you've got Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and both of them, you know, with a loss in Oklahoma State. If they can win, they got a very reasonable case to make that they should be going to the Final Four if they beat Oklahoma and then can win the conference championship. Notre Dame, same kind of deal. So they're going to say, okay, we've only lost to Cincinnati that's in the Final Four. Well, Ohio State, lost to Oregon, that got beat 38-7 last week. Michigan lost to Michigan State. That was down 49-0 at the half last week. Alabama lost to Texas A&M. That's already got three losses. Should have lost to Florida, who hadn't even won half its games and fired its coach. And should have lost to LSU, who may not go to a bowl game and fired its coach. So that's certainly not the great record that people try to make it out to be for Alabama. So you know, if any of those teams jump Cincinnati, if they've won the championship and are undefeated, that's going to be a real travesty to what they say is supposed to be what the system is.
What was the turnaround point for Ohio State, and is there any way that Michigan can defeat them this weekend?
Well, I think Michigan can beat them. I mean, they're number six or whatever they are, and they're playing at Michigan. But you know, until Michigan, guys, it's kind of like I am with Tennessee. Until Michigan proves to me that they're going to win the big ball game and get back up there, you know, how many seasons in a row have people, including Lindy's, you know, drank the Kool-Aid and put Michigan in top 25 or higher, and then they lose games that they should win, and they don't win? How many times in a row have they lost to Ohio State? I honestly don't know the answer. I should have checked it before I asked the question, but it's a lot. And Harbaugh, you know, he's colorful and controversial and all as well. So yeah, Michigan could beat them. Michigan's a very good team, but I don't think they will. I'm gonna pick Ohio State. I think Stroud last week had about as good a. You're playing the number seven team in the country, a team that's already beaten Michigan, a team that if they can beat you has their own claim to the Final Four. At the end of the first half, you're ahead of them 49-0, and Stroud has gone 29 of 31 for 390 yards passing and 6 touchdowns by halftime. I mean, you almost give them a spot in the Final Four and give Stroud the Heisman Trophy based off that. And where did it turn around? I don't know. Because they had a couple of close games, and of course they lost to Oregon at home. But at some point it certainly turned, because, and I still think Georgia's the best team in the country right now. The difference with Georgia is that Georgia's defense. I mean, Ohio State gives up some, they didn't to Michigan State much, but, Alabama gave up, 450 yards and 5 touchdowns to Arkansas. They gave up 38 or 41 or something when they got beat by Texas A&M. Georgia hadn't given up that many in any 3 or 4 games combined. Georgia's defense is just so much better than everybody else's. Now, with that being said, they may beat Alabama. I mean, Alabama beat them in the championship game. I think Georgia opened as a 5-point favorite. But where a team, where things go start to go good or start to go bad for a team is often hard to tell or hard to put your finger on. But at some point, the light switch went off for Ohio State, and they've been a mighty good team since then.
Talking about where things go bad for a team, are we firing these coaches too soon, Lynn? You obviously know about Ed Orgeron. 2 years ago, they win the national championship. Dan Mullins, 2 years ago, they're playing for the SEC title, if I'm not mistaken.
Last year.
Oh, excuse me, last year.
And they scored 40 on Alabama. I mean, they not only played for the championship, they came very close to beating Alabama and ran all over the field on them all day.
And now he's out of a job. Like, are they firing these coaches just way too quickly?
Well, I don't know, indeed, because they're firing them for so many different reasons. Lake up at Washington gets fired up because of something he said or did off the field. The guy at Washington State is released because he won't take the vaccine. You've got coaches that are losing it because of potential scandals personally or within their programs. You got coaches that are losing because of how the team's performing. How they're doing on the field. You mentioned Mullen. You got to wonder about. Do you remember the Missouri game? Their game with Missouri last year. Do you remember how that thing ended?
No, I remember the one last
week. That was the game where they had the gigantic brawl, and everybody went on the field, the players, the coaches, and all that. And Mullen after the game is saying, "My players ought to know better. Coach, you're the one that caused it." You remember that? He ran out on the field and accosted the refs and was yelling, screaming like a madman. And it turns into a terrible thing. And Mullen brought it on. And I remember people at the Times. I have a Florida friend that asked, wondered if Mullen had a stroke. Wanted to know, did he just totally lose his composure on that? And then he's carried on this week before last, They beat Samford, the Samford Bulldogs of Birmingham, who I think 2 weeks before had lost to VMI. I mean, VMI, they lost to they gave up 42 points at halftime against Samford. Samford scored 52 points and had 500 yards offense. Florida had to score 70 points to beat Samford. And Dan Mullen is dancing and partying with his players in the dressing room like they just won the Super Bowl. And you just got to wonder, did Mullen lose it somewhere? Because he's lost the ability to control his team. He's got they're being investigated by NCAA off the field for recruiting stuff. They're losing all their ball games, and they got players bailing out on them. And I don't think Scott Strickland had any choice but to get rid of Coach Mullen. But we've had 14. If I counted them up right, I tried to count them up last night, at 14 teams in either Power 5 or Group of 5 that have released their coaches for various reasons, and only 3 of them have come back with other coaches. So you still got 11 or 12 slots open, and let's just say I've heard Billy Napier's name mentioned going to Florida. Well, he's there, at Louisiana Lafayette or Louisiana. Well, if he goes, then there's Louisiana. It's like a domino effect, because Florida's got to fill up a position, then probably some other team is going to have a position filled. So it's, I think there's more of it going on, guys. Up until the four seasons in a row, 2017, 18, 19, 20, by November the 1st, only five total coaches combined had lost their job by November the 1st. And we had more than that this year that had. So I don't know if they're doing it too quick. Maybe it's the instant gratification. Maybe it's how much money that they're being paid that you expect something to be shown for the amount of money. Maybe with YouTube and Twitter and all that stuff, with social media picking up things so quickly, things that coaches say or do, or that players say about what's going on, maybe that's out in the news more. And maybe it's not that so much is going on, it's just more known about it. I don't know. It could be any of those reasons. But for sure, there's been more coaching change this year than there has been probably any time ever.
Lynn, we are thankful for getting you every single week. I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving, and thanks for everything you bring to In the Trenches.
Guys, same to you. I'm going to take 30 more seconds from me and from Lindy's staff. We thank everybody in this audience, the people that patronize this station and patronize the sponsors that allow us to be having these shows. And never take for granted, guys, our freedom and what God has done for us. Be grateful on Thanksgiving.
My man, well said. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk with you next week.
All right, guys. Talk to y'all soon.